On today's episode of What is YA Anyway, I have YA reader and Instagram influencer Lisa Parkin. She runs the Instagram account at uppercase YA, and we are talking about trends in young adult literature, the draw for young adult literature, and where the field is headed. I hope you enjoy. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to What is YA Anyway? I'm so happy to have you here today. Before we get started, can you tell us a bit about yourself and your Instagram page, uppercase YA?
Yes. So I started uppercase YA actually as an account for a small business I had called Uppercase Box. And it's similar to like Alcrate or Lumacrate, where we sent out books every month to subscribers, but I transitioned that about 2018 to just an account with recommendations. So every day I do like little roundups of, you know, YA rom-coms or, you know, YA fantasy books and also adult books as well. So now it's just purely a book recommendation account.
That's so fun. So how do you, I've always wondered, because you have the most amazing roundups, I just want to tell you, how do you go about like curating those books? What kind of work goes into picking, like, especially the young adult books that you're putting on that page?
Gosh, well, in the beginning, it was really easy, you know, because there's so many different like, kind of subgenres in, you know, YA or just regular fiction. So I just kind of went through like my favorites, like retellings. Gosh, there's so many, any kind of fantasy, you know, fantasy romance, that kind of thing. Now I often ask people for like, what do you want to hear? You know, what do you really want a book recommendation for? So I try to engage our audience a lot to say, you know, what is it you really are looking to read? But I just also, I just read a ton. So sometimes I'll make little notes myself like, oh, this is interesting. Like people are so into tropes right now, you know, like romance tropes. So, oh, this is enemies to lovers. Like I bet people want to read about that.
Yeah. So when did you really start getting into reading? And was it a young adult book that brought you in, or was it a different category?
So I've pretty much been a lifetime reader since I was little. I would say the Anna Green Gables series was just so charming to me. I love that, you know, Anna's just so spunky and kind of like makes her own rules and is often getting herself into trouble and having to apologize. So that probably set me off reading. And then when I was in college, I had a part-time job at Books A Million. And one of the policies there is, you, as an employee, you can just kind of check out books like a library there as long as you make a note of what date. And yeah, I was like, I don't know if this is okay to really do, but they let us. And so I got back into reading like during that time for YA specifically. So I was reading like Graceling by Kristen Kishore and Shiver, which is like Maggie Stiefvater, one of her early YA books. So that's kind of where I got back into it after having more time to do that.
Did you notice when you're reading YA that you have a particular feeling or attachment that comes along with these books that is different from, say, like adult literature or classics?
Yeah, I definitely would say that. I think that YA somehow captures kind of like the feeling of anything is possible because you're young and you can make choices for yourself. Whereas I think a lot of adult fiction is like, I'm an adult. I already have a bunch of problems. You know, how do we navigate around what already is existing versus like the world is open to you?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm studying is the traditional definitions of YA have always been like, it's, you know, targeted to 12 to 18 year olds, which is true. And most of the protagonists are in that age range. But I found that actually the majority of people who are reading YA are adults. Do you find when you're reading YA that there is a specific age range in the protagonist that you're looking for? One of my readers who is in her 20s was always looking for protagonists who were a little bit older versus like a 14-year-old. Does that ever take you out of the story, or are you looking for that really like fresh younger voice?
That's a great question. I think I feel most like I relate most to the story if the characters are like maybe a little bit older. So like maybe 17, 18, even mm-hmm. like 19 is kind of like the cusp of new adult, even though a lot of people say that isn't a real genre. Yeah. I think when the protagonists are younger, like 13, 14, it just, yeah, it's tougher for me to connect because some of the issues that come up are just, you know, stuff that age would struggle with. Yeah. So I think for me, I like it a little bit. The character is a little bit older.
Another thing that's very much so particular to the YA genre, of course, it's done in adult literature too, but they're told in the first person perspective. How does that help you really get into the story? And are you most compelled by the character or by like the plot and setting?
Let's see. I think that I actually read a bunch of books where there are a lot of first person perspectives, but it's also like third person omniscient. So the author is really able to get into, I can just jump from this character to this character, like inside their mind.
Yeah.
Which is, I like that a lot because I think I love getting not just the one point of view. Mm-hmm. I love multiple. I think authors are kind of doing that more as well. And maybe not even like a switch chapter to chapter, but just within the, you know, story yeah. kind of going back and forth. And so, I'm sorry, what was your second question?
Oh, I was just wondering if it helps you, like, are you more attracted to a compelling character or to the plot-driven, like fast-paced novel?
That I think it kind of depends for me on the story. When it's mm-hmm. fantasy, I really appreciate a great, a well-plotted story. Obviously, the characters kind of like add to that. You know, it's about the adventure, but it's about the magic. But when I'm reading a contemporary, I really want it to be about the characters and, you know, relating to them and, you know, what kind of their internal struggle is.
Now, do you have a favorite subgenre of YA? Like myself, I find YA so amazing because you can have so many different genres. Like one day you can read a YA fantasy and the next day you can read a contemporary, but I do always love a good YA fantasy. Do you have a favorite that you always find yourself like, okay, this is the genre of YA that I really, really love to read?
Yes. So I am a sucker for fantasy romance. So if it's got romance, I am sold. And if it's got magic, okay, we can go.
And your followers, are there particular genres that they like recommendations for the most?
I am finding that a lot of people are asking for very specific things in books. Like mm-hmm. they want something specific to happen. They want the enemies to lovers. They want, you know, office romance or, you know, they want like something really specific. Yes. Sometimes that's a little tough, but I always find the most popular requests involve fantasy. It involves, I'm trying to think of something specific. Oh, retellings. Retellings are always really popular and yeah, a lot of romance for sure.
Do you notice that there has been like an uptick in people who want retellings after Sarah J. Maas's A Court of Thorns and Roses and the Beauty and the Beast element there?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think too, the Cinder series by Marissa yeah. Meyer, that like mashup of classic with like a fantasy or like sci-fi element really kickstarted that for sure.
Yeah. Speaking to this mashup of the classics and young adult literature, one of the first ways that YA was included in the scholarship was as it was an education and it was used as a bridge for secondary students to read classics. Do you think that this is an effective way to use young adult literature? And did you have that experience or would you have liked to have that experience in your own secondary education?
I think it was either my senior year of high school or in college as an English lit minor that I read more contemporary fiction. So just, you know, not the classics
yeah.
as a tool of, you know, of learning, of, you know, delving into that genre. And I wish it was its own class. Like I wish it was its own element and not as a stepping stone, I think, to classics, because immediately I think interest is there for people to read things that they already maybe would be reading versus some books that are certainly helpful, but you know, very white, very straight. So yeah.
Have you noticed too in your followers that they're looking for more diverse characters, different experiences represented, and they're asking for those recommendations from you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. LGBTQ is a huge ask. Also, obviously diverse in terms of race, but diverse in terms of ability. I'm trying to think of the right word. Able.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. Able-bodied. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yes. Yep. Yes. So, and not just like one of those elements, people want multiple of those elements in a story for sure.
I just recently read Get a Life, Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert. And yes. I loved that book. I have a chronic illness myself, and the way she represented it was just like so fabulous. And I've found that a lot of, you know, like romance and young adult, which is typically like two very stigmatized categories, are doing so much in the way of diversity. Do you see YA having some more diverse authors or diverse storylines than, because you also work with adult fiction, than perhaps adult books, or do you feel that they're pretty equal?
I will say, to be fair, I'm not sure in terms of adult books. Like, I think that they are making progress for mm-hmm. sure, yeah. to my knowledge. But I think YA has come so far. Yeah. So when I started reading really seriously and blogging back in, like, I don't know, early to that 2010, it was the same kind of story. You know, there was absolutely no push for diversity because I think publishers were doing what they were always doing. And now that demand is so high. Yeah. So YA has come so far. I've been looking at books for next year. And I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find any cast of characters that is all white or, yep. you know, all straight or whatever. It's incredible. I'm really proud of YA for how far it's come.
Yeah, it's doing like such incredible work. And the authors too, like the voice that they're giving to these characters, it's just amazing to hear and listen to. And I think that the most amazing part is you can relate to anyone. They've made it so that it's like you can step into someone else's shoes and really get their experience, which is invaluable for a young person to expose them to, like, there are other people outside and like be empathetic to them. It's really fantastic. So you started blogging in the early 2010s, and around that time, like the dystopian craze of young adult was happening. Have you seen a similar like uptick in some subgenre that people are really, really attached to, really looking for in young adult in the same way that like they were looking for these very similar dystopian stories in 2010?
You know, what I'm seeing the most of is more like lived experience. I know own stories or
yes, own voices.
Own voices. Thank you. Yeah. That term has kind of dropped off because I think it caused a little bit of damage. But I think that is what people want. Like, mm-hmm. you know, more stories from specific cultures that yeah. are now being brought to life. Mm-hmm. You know, in YA, I think people want something that's different. They haven't read yep. it before. They want, you know, fresh voices from cultures and backgrounds that they haven't heard of yet.
I'd love to see the different retellings that have come about, like Marlon James, like Black Leopard, Red Wolf, I believe it was, like the retelling of African folklore, and also the ones that are going on in YA, Tari Mafi's This Woven Kingdom. Yes. I absolutely adore these other retellings. And I feel like I'm learning so much as I'm reading these books that it adds just another layer to an already amazing, category.
Yeah.
What tropes are you yourself like the most, and what tropes do your readers like the most?
I know I've said it a couple of times, but I cannot emphasize how many times I'm asked for enemies to lovers. It's just one of those absolute like winners that people just are immediately like, yes, I will buy that based on that alone.
Yep.
A lot of things are romance based. So like friends to lovers or rivals to lovers. Mm-hmm. Also dark academia. There is such an appetite for that right now. It's really interesting and kind of an aesthetic that just sort of became also like a genre.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting to see too.
What authors have the most sway when you post a photo where you're like, okay, read books like this, or if you include an author in one of your roundups, is there one that is like, an immediate sell?
People absolutely love Stephanie Garber, the mm-hmm. Caraval series. I would say Sarah J. Maas is still like kind of divisive. Like some people love her, some people hate her, but the attention is there for sure. I'd also say Jennifer Lynn Barnes for the Inheritance Games. Yeah. That series has taken off. I mean, she has such an incredible backlist of books from the past like 10 years, but that series is really like, I think, set her apart for mm-hmm. sure too.
When you started blogging, like Instagram was not as influential as it is now, and certainly not TikTok. How has the social media landscape changed in the time you've been working and changed your approach, or how many books like you come across yourself?
Well, it's kind of incredible because, like you said, you know, I think the social media platforms and kind of like the virality of things now can just launch something. Like there's this really bizarre old book that got, it's a mystery book, and it's sort of like you're solving it also like with the author. I forget the name of it exactly, maybe The Cat something, but that it was obscure, absolutely obscure. And after going viral on TikTok, it was sold out on Amazon. Sold out. I mean, it's crazy.
It is.
So yeah, I think the magic of Instagram and especially TikTok is taking books that are not well known mm-hmm. and giving them like new life. I mean, books that are years old mm-hmm. that are not new at all. So that's kind of incredible. And another marketing tool for authors, although authors doing it themselves is not always successful. It's the readers kind of doing it for them, obviously.
Yeah. Do you work with authors on any of your social media platforms to help promote their books?
I do. I offer paid services to do like a custom roundup on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I also have an email newsletter where people can either do like a sponsored email or a dedicated email of, you know, promoting their book with links and, you know, purchase buttons and everything.
Cool. I love that. So as great as social media can be and as much fun as it is, I love it myself, there's also that negative space. And my question is, has there ever been any like shame that you've had for promoting young adult books? Because there are people who feel that these books are like should not be consumed by adults or should really just stick to, you know, 13, 14, 15 year olds. They're not worthy of our attention. And what do you say to that argument?
I think I've been in the YA world for so long that I don't necessarily get backlash from people kind of outside of it. Mm-hmm. I think some of the like infighting is kind of around expectations from adult readers expecting the content to be more adult. So there's kind of that like tension of actually these books are meant for teens, even though a lot of adults are reading them, the content still needs to be relatable for teens and not also have, you know, explicit content that is really, really meant for adults. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of like one of the biggest conversations, but I just wish people would read in general. I know most Americans don't read like one book a year. So I don't care what they read. I just want them to help save our bookstores, please.
I know. I was talking to my professor last night and we were discussing like social media and books that people were, you know, reading, loving, talking about. And he was like, I'm just happy to hear that there's a community of anyone who's talking about books. And I was like, yeah, me too. Because like, don't we just want people reading books? Like who cares if it's a young adult book or a graphic novel, whatever it is, like pick up the book, read it, engage with the material and you'll get something from it.
Exactly. I know a lot of conversation, like you were saying in romance, like book communities, like there's kind of like in the past been stigmatized. And I love that there's just this conversation now that's more let people enjoy what they want to enjoy without any, you know, backlash. Like, let's just do that.
Yeah. I feel like that really speaks to this a feeling of acceptance kind of that's come into the book where we're like, we're finally pushing for acceptance of diverse stories and also just acceptance of like, if you like this book, then enjoy this book, share your enjoyment. And maybe I won't also love the book, but that's okay because there are, you know, millions of books out there. We'll all find something that we enjoy.
Exactly.
Do you have, well, my first question actually before I ask that is what made you want to work closely with young adult literature versus another category?
I think it probably was just my exposure to it. Mm-hmm. I think YA is kind of more approachable in some ways. Like mm-hmm. the stories seem, you know, more immersive. It doesn't feel like you need prior access. You know what I mean? Like there's like, if I think about, you know, Michael Crichton or something, like there's something that seems like you have to really be into that kind of category already. YA sort of seems more across the board. Like there's something for everyone because mm-hmm. it's such a massive genre that has so many choices.
Absolutely. Do you think that there's something, some element that makes for a quote unquote, like good YA book versus a book where you feel like the writing does not capture your attention?
I think for me, the best kind of YA book is one where you immediately are rooting for the main character. Mm-hmm. Like to me, if that isn't there right away, I am struggling the whole time. Like I have to care about them and what they're going through. And once that is there, I'm in for the whole thing.
What gets you to root for the main character?
Usually it's something bad has happened to them, or and they seem like not necessarily a good person, but someone that you're like, I feel like they could do something good, or they have potential in some way, and you know, something's been taken away from them, or something bad happens to them, and that's when you know the empathy starts growing.
Yeah,
that seems terrible.
Yeah,
I'm feeling for them.
Do you have a favorite YA character that you always kind of return to? Like, this is my guy, or this is my girl, whoever it is. And you're always rooting for them no matter what.
I love the Poison Study series by Maria V. Snyder. I think the main character's name is Yelena. I'm not always great with remembering characters, but the premise of the book is she, I think she's committed a crime and she becomes a poison tester for like the king. Yeah. And that premise already is so intriguing to me. I also love the Graceling series. I think I mentioned that already, but again, like just really vivid characters mm-hmm. in my mind. And those are kind of some older stories. But I think, you know, some classics. Also, I don't think you can go wrong with Six of Crows. Kaz. Yeah.
My other reader I was talking to, I asked her what her favorite book was, and she said Six of Crows because she was like, I could just reread it over and over again and always find something new.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's so easy. I mean, it's such a vivid world, mm-hmm. and that seems so hard to do well.
Yes. And the layers of what's going on in like their heist and also between the characters. When I was first reading it, I was like, whoa, this is incredible. What she's managed to pack into this book is mind-blowing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially considering I think those books are set before the Shadow and Bone books.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, the whole pre-knowledge of, yeah, it's complicated. And
it is. I was like, I need a tree or a map or something to connect to what's going on, a journal to write some notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A timeline.
Exactly. You need a timeline. I'm like, in her head, I'm like, wow, how does she keep, I always am wondering with these fantasy authors who write, you know, like 10, 12 book series, how they keep all the information in their brains when they're writing. I'm just blown away.
Yeah, very hard. Like,
I went to a book talk with Cassandra Clare, and she said she has an assistant who keeps, I think she said it was like a binder the size of the Bible of all of the characters, settings, details, so that when she's writing, she can like flip to an alphabetized like dictionary of what has gone on in her books, because that's how many books there are.
It's insane. Yeah. Like kudos, because that sounds so hard.
I know, it sounds so stressful. I'm like, man, I can barely remember what I'm doing tomorrow. So as a young adult reader, you read these books, but have you ever gone back and done a reread of some of your favorite young adult books? And do you notice that your adult perspective has changed the way you consume the literature?
Yes. So actually the two books I just mentioned, The Poison Study and Graceling, I've reread several times in the past several years. Mm-hmm. And I think I appreciate it even more because what I appreciated younger was probably more surface level. And now I see more the writing quality and how certain things are masterfully interwoven. Yeah. So I think I just appreciate great writing even more now. Mm-hmm. And also how many books I've read has grown exponentially. So I'm pickier also about the things that I truly enjoy. I mean, if I finish a book, I'm like, okay, 4 stars immediately because I, you know, enjoy this enough to finish it. But yeah, I think I'm a little bit more discerning now for quality.
You have such an expansive knowledge of these books, which you need to do these incredible roundups. How do you consume so many books? Do you have like strategies that help you read more?
Yes. So I read a couple years ago, and this is super helpful. Try to have 2 books that you're reading at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because and have them be in different genres, because if you start reading one and it's not catching your interest, like move to the other. And this is just for trying to complete books. You know, mm-hmm. if you have a certain reading goal, I mean, in a general recommendation, I hope people just read for their own enjoyment, but if you want to have a certain reading goal. And then another one was like, if you have an e-reader and an app on your phone, like have a book on every like medium you can. So obviously having like a physical book and the ebook version is probably mm-hmm. a little ridiculous, but I find like if I'm out, instead of, you know, going on my phone to some random app, I'll go, you know, to the Kindle and, you know, read my book or whatever. So yeah, I think like using your downtime mindfully mm-hmm. for reading is probably another, turn off things on your phone that you are distracting. Like if you really want to read, you know, 100 books a year or something, or even 50, I mean,
yeah,
that is a challenge for a lot of people.
How do you balance reading a lot and being on social media a lot? I am also a social media manager, and you have to sit on these apps to get them to like you. And that eats up a lot of time. So my question is just, what is the balance between being on social media? You don't want to be on it too much, but also being on it enough to really engage with your audience.
Yeah, I would say I set aside time to do that. So I, on the weekend, in my free time, I also have a daughter. She's 4. So, free time is a very like loose term, but time when I'm not being bothered, I try to map out all my content for the week. I brainstorm and then I try to just start pumping it out. So during the week is not content creation for me. It's just posting and replying. And I try to set like specific times during the day. I'm not always great about popping off because I want to engage, but it's posting, you know, the actual for Instagram posts and reels, because mm-hmm. reels is another thing that I think if you want to grow, you have to kind of do now.
Absolutely.
As a mom, there are times that I cannot be on my phone.
Yep.
So that actually is really helpful to kind of force me to just get off mm-hmm. and disengage. Mm-hmm.
Do you know if there's a specific demographic that comes to your page more than another, and who are they and why do you think that they're attracted to this content?
Yes. So according to my Instagram analytics, mm-hmm. The most popular demographic is women by like 80%, versus men. And then the age range is probably close to the most popular one being 18 to 25. Mm-hmm. And then right under that would be, you know, a little bit older. So let me like 30 to 40 ish, mm-hmm. Which is really interesting. The much younger, like 18 and below is maybe my third category.
Yeah.
Why I think they're drawn to it. I mean, I think women in general, right, are probably just bigger readers than men, or maybe the genre of YA romance, adult fiction, mm-hmm. And maybe just the natural community that is on Instagram.
Yep.
I feel like, for this type of thing seems to skew for women.
Absolutely. I've been looking into like demographics for publishing, and publishing does not release the demographics of their authors. But do you, since you are with these books all the time, notice that there are more female authored young adult books, or that there are more books geared towards young women than geared towards young men?
So for the author one, for sure, majority women. I mean, there's obviously some really popular male authors as well, but I think, yeah, it definitely skews towards women for authors. And then as far as main characters, I want to say it's maybe 50-50 or maybe like, let's say 60-40.
Yeah.
Because a lot of women do write, you know, a male main character. Right. So I think that, yeah, that kind of evens out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. In terms of romance, something that a lot of young adult readers and just readers in general come to, do you find that there's a particular male lead that they're drawn to?
A lot of requests for books include a morally gray.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like that is something that, I don't know, women in general are like, yes, give me the bad boy. That sounds great.
That's so true. We're always like, I see so many posts are like, I love this morally gray character. And I'm like, fair, me too.
Yes. Yes.
What is the last young adult book that you read?
I just finished Divine Rivals by Rebecca Ross. That is coming out, I think, April next year. And it's incredible. It's sort of a historical novel. It seems like old-timey, but there's gods waging war. Yeah. And the main character is a journalist whose brother goes to the front lines of the war. It's amazing. She's one of my favorite authors.
That sounds really good. I have not read her books yet, so I'm going to have to check those ones out.
Yes, for sure. I would start with Dreams Lie Beneath from her.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. I have found so many book recommendations from these interviews. As if I didn't have enough books already on my TBR list. Now it is just like everyone has mentioned some author that I'm like, I haven't read that one yet. And I'm like, well, now I have to read it. So
yeah. Oh, I don't envy you that. Yeah, I bet.
Spending so much time with new books, reading upcoming releases, have you noticed that YA books, especially being a longtime reader, do you feel that the writing has increased in quality over the past decade as the genre has become more popular?
Yeah, I would say so for sure, or at least the style has changed. I think the demand is there that so many people are getting to have, I mean, I wouldn't say getting to have their book published because publishing is very competitive, but, or, you know, barrier to entry is very high, but yeah, I would definitely say the quality and the topics, the depth probably of what is being talked about is so much richer. It's not just like we're off on an adventure. It's I'm dealing with something serious, you know? Yeah. That's kind of been cool to see.
Speaking to that point, does it feel as though the content has been aged up beyond the 12 to 18 category, even if you say have like a 17-year-old protagonist?
Yeah, I definitely think that. I think that it's, I don't see that many books anymore that are, have the younger protagonists.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, just because so many older readers are reading, I think it's just kind of naturally shifted.
Yeah. And you've sort of answered this, but do you think that that's because publishing has noticed that adults are being more drawn to this category than even some teenagers? So it makes sense for them to age up the character and then make them 17 years old?
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And I think there's even more books that kind of ride the line of, you know, either they're set in like their first year of college or the characters are older, but, you know, it's spicier. So there's the Carrie Maniscalco. She has a couple series that, yeah, I think I get comments all the time when I post like, this isn't really YA. And I'll say it's marketed as YA. I totally understand the content is maybe not there, but it's YA.
Yeah. YA was created just as a marketing category. And similar to that, we also have this new adult category that has like kind of tried to get its foot in the door as protagonists who are in their 20s instead of in their teens, but it hasn't necessarily taken off in the same way. When you're creating these roundups, do you take into account the new adult category? And what do you think of splitting between like young adult and new adult, which is oftentimes shelved with young adult in the bookstores?
I've tried to do a couple of roundups of new adult, and to be honest with you, the category is so murky and not clearly defined. Mm-hmm. I almost don't even bother because people will just argue with me endlessly about what is YA, what is NA, and it almost doesn't seem worth it because it's such a narrow slice.
Yeah,
I don't know that enough books even technically are in it.
Yeah.
Because they end up just getting sort of, you know, rounded up into adult. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think so many authors and publishers don't want to touch it. That is sort of, even though it does exist for readers, it kind of doesn't exist professionally.
Yeah. It's so hard really setting a definite definition of even young adult because it does shift and change. And the only hard and fast definition is the age range. But when you have adults reading these books, the age range almost becomes null. Like, yes, they're 17-year-olds, but clearly there's something else that's defining the category for these older readers. Do you think that it's the storylines or the characters that are defining it? Or do you think it's this nostalgic, almost magical quality that the young adult books take on, whether you are a young adult or you're an adult?
Yeah, I think it's related to whatever challenges the protagonist is facing. Mm-hmm. I think if it feels like it's kind of teenagery, like, you know, what do I do with my life? You know, what college do I go to? What career path do I choose? Or, you know, I want this specific thing. And, you know, it's like age appropriate in terms of like what that age range would be struggling with. But I do think that there's a nostalgia quality for sure. And I think that's what draws people, is it's not the everyday problems of life. It's this kind of, you know, I don't have to deal with certain things because I'm younger and I want to go on this adventure.
Yeah. Do you still feel that nostalgic quality? And how would you, in your own words, define it?
Define YA?
Yeah, or that feeling of reading YA.
Yeah, I think for me, it's the idea that anything is possible. Mm-hmm. And this, and maybe not knowing who you are exactly yet, and you're figuring that out. I think so many YA books center on that.
Yeah.
Of, I have these interests, I have these desires, but how do I make it happen? I don't know how. And who am I really?
Yeah. Like universal questions that even you can ask into adulthood when you're trying to figure out, like, maybe this career path isn't working. Who am I? Where am I going from here?
Yeah, right. It makes it kind of eternally relatable.
Yeah, definitely. Even though sometimes people are like, it can't be relatable beyond your teenage years.
Right.
Yeah. So I've so enjoyed talking to you today and getting your insight on this. For my final question, I'm wondering, do you have a favorite young adult book, and why is it your favorite?
Oh, that's like such a tough question.
I know.
Oh my goodness. I think I have favorites that are from when I first started reading, that are so nostalgic for me. Like, you know, the Shadow and Bone series. And I love anything by Margaret Rogerson. She wrote An Enchantment of Ravens and Sorcery of Thorns. So those are books that I think are kind of newer favorites. Mm-hmm. But what I think makes a book a favorite for me is that it hits all the notes of, you know, personal growth. It's got some romance. That's just my personal. And it probably has some magic.
I too love all those qualities. Romance, sign me up. Magic, doubly sign me up. I will take it. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. And You are at uppercase YA on Instagram for anyone who wants fantastic recommendations, whether they like YA or adult fiction. And yeah, I hope that this was fun for you.
It was so fun talking to you, and all the best of luck for your podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye, Lisa.
Bye.
That was so much fun talking to Lisa. It's amazing to talk with other book lovers in the social media space. I hope that you learn something about the feeling that comes over us when we read YA and why we keep coming back to it. And definitely check out Lisa's social media if you want the most incredible young adult recommendations. All right, I'll see you back here on What is YA Anyway?